All right. So good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see everyone. I think, hopefully the excitement of the retreat coming up is kind of like infecting everybody. And I do want to let Lisa and Kathleen know I'm really working on trying to zoom it. I'm really working on trying to zoom it. It's mildly complicated, but that's the goal. And certainly if it's not zoomed, we will record it, but it'd be better if it was zoomed. I have that camera. And so you could even participate in breakout groups and stuff. So I'm working on it. I can't guarantee it, but I'm working on it because it's going to break my heart if we can't all be together. It's just going to break my heart. So with that said, well, Steve is out doing his marathon, his half marathon tonight with today, which is kind of fun. He's been working on that for a long time. And, is there anybody else who told me they weren't going to be here today? I thought April wasn't, but she's here.
We're missing Kathleen.
We're missing Kathleen. She didn't tell me she wasn't going to be here, and she's usually does. So she'll probably be here shortly. So with that, let's actually open with a meditation. And then we're kind of at this, I think, really fun part where we're really starting to work with the energy body and this concept of karma, which we've kind of really, the anxiety class has been a beautiful, filling out of some of that teaching that we weren't able to do in last year's class. So, kind of fun having that going on. So those of you who didn't see yesterday's class, we kind of did a little more work with the energy body in there. So it'd be good to rewatch if you can. So how about that? Let's do a meditation. Let's open with a meditation. And everybody's finding their seat. It's a beautiful thing to see. And then in your own way, find your seat. And as you do it, notice what you're doing. Each piece, not automatic, not habit, but full awareness and attention, as if it's the first time you've ever done this. So part of finding our seat means discovering where there is tightness or tension that needs to be released so we can surrender and sink and settle. And then let's use the breath in the physical body, the physical sensation of the breath. Inhaling, feeling the breath flowing down into the bottommost lobes of the lungs, which presses on the diaphragm and feels like our breath is filling deep, deep in the belly. And you might even feel your belly expanding. Just starting there, physical breath flowing in. Belly expands. And then when it feels really comfortable, you found that deep, deep breath, abdominal breath. Then be aware of the breath rising and expanding up into the chest. And as you do this, it's 360 degrees of expansion that's going on. So every time you do this, there's a new place in the rib cage, in the torso, to discover this expansion. And so for you, each time we do this, finding what is new and fresh is part of what keeps our practice alive. And juicy is the phrase everybody's using these days. So find that expansion under the armpits. Find it where the ribs attach to the spine, the very back. Find it in the sternum. Just explore. Good job, folks. Good job. You're just so beautiful doing this. And then you've got your belly. You're finding it in the ribs. So the last part of that three-part breath, let it fill. Just imagine it, feel it, sense it, filling those top little tops of the lungs. You know, they're so narrow. And what is, you know, we say filling under the collarbones, but what is that? What is fresh and new about that for you today? Are you feeling it expanding into your shoulder joints, perhaps? And there we have three-part inhale. And now we take those three distinct sensations, those three distinct parts, and we let them merge. So it becomes one fluid, easy inhale. And as you exhale, we exhale in reverse. The tops of the lobes empty, the middle of the lungs empty, and then the bottom, we push all the air out by bringing that abdomen back to the spine, completely emptying the lungs. Kind of like if you filled up a room, if you filled up a room with people, the last ones in by the door are the first ones out. And everybody leaves. And the last little ones, they don't want to leave. The party's been so good. You got to push them out. Push them out. Clear everything out. And just enjoy two or three more of these breaths, easy, fluid, letting go of the separate parts and just finding that intuitive, natural flow of this breath. And after that last exhale, just rest. Becoming present right here, right now, in the ways that work for you. This is your practice. It's not my practice. You become present in the way that you know works for you. And now the most important piece, we're going to sit here for about another 40 seconds. Enjoy it. Can you enjoy the quiet, the stillness? We call it the refuge of our inner self. Okay, and so let's play around a little bit here. And let's move into some pranayamas. So we're going to do a resurrection breath. And as we come forward, let's move right into sipping breath. And as we've talked about, and I don't remember what was anxiety or this class, not anxiety, RIPA, rest in peace anxiety, or RIPA class. Sipping breath, we're drawing that breath and we're hitting the upper palate, the hard palate. See if you can find the soft palate and let that energy be absorbed into that Ajna Chakra that is connected to the Sushumna, okay? But it's a solar entry to the Ajna Chakra. And then when we do E-Mantra, we're going to be working with the Ajna Chakra, but from the moon center, from the back, okay? So let's see if we can just fill ourselves with this yummy prana, opening up the sun center, opening up the moon center. Okay. So here we go. Resurrection breath. And begin. And what do you know about holds now? What you know is the hold is the portal into the Sushumna, right? So keep that hold soft. Keep your body relaxed. It's a place of still, light, floating, effortlessness. So for your last couple sipping breaths, you're all at the point now where sipping breath is an almost effortless experience. The only effort is in constricting the mouth to pull in that cool funnel of air that is feeding the chakra. Other than that, everything is soft. That exhale is effortless and natural. Let's do two more each. Kathleen, we're just doing some sipping breath. We're finishing up a couple sipping breaths. Okay. Sorry. So take a moment, get yourself present. Don't rush. And after that last exhale, the key here is to find the stillness in the body, and you're all sitting so beautifully still. And it appears that you're soft. And that sensation, this is what we call the subtle energy. This is how we build our awareness of the subtle energy. And the softer and the more still you can be, the more you will discover and the more you will allow the prana to feed you and nourish you and balance you. And my hope is someday when you're in these places, you're going to love it as much as me. I just love this feeling. But let's build on this now and let's move into E-mantra. E-mantra with the awareness that we are waking up the moon center, the mouth of God, the source where the prana flows in. Okay? So same thing. There's effort in making that vibration in the throat, but the pause is effortless. The pause is effortless. Okay? Let's begin. Inhale through the open mouth. And I forgot to mention, eyes are gazing at the sun center, just effortlessly soft gazing at the screen of the mind, the sun center. Okay. And after your next hold, release the technique. No rush. Now, very, 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 very gently, just let your awareness come back to the natural breath. Eyes are still gazing at the sun center. Spine is effortlessly straight. Body soft. And see if you can simply be aware of the moon center as you're breathing. Just stay right there. You're all your awareness at the moon center. And whatever you sensation you find, however subtle, take it. Just let your attention rest there. No forcing, no striving or grasping, just a gentle observing and noticing. And then when you feel ready, just begin to follow the path of the breath. In other words, just mentally think about how the breath, the prana of the breath is flowing in through that moon center and down your spine as you inhale. And it's moving back up and out the sun center with your exhale. And we know it's actually in one of the channels, in the lunar channel, but that's okay for now. Just follow it down the spine and back up and out the sun center as you exhale. And another way to play with this, because we're playing, this isn't serious, heavy stuff, which hopefully is fun. Just focus on the moon center as you inhale. And then let your attention kind of just drop somewhere in out of the head. And then as you exhale, let your attention come back to the sun center. Try not to direct the course of the breath in between. Just your mind goes to moon center as you're inhaling, sun center as you're exhaling, kind of in this nowhere zone in between each. And just notice what happens. Jaw is soft. Good job. And now just for radically fun experimenting. Don't do it yet. I'm going to explain what to do. But you're going to just keep this awareness with the breath, right? In the moon center, sun center as you exhale. And in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to hold whatever awareness, whatever sensations you're finding, or maybe none, but just that's where your mind is going. But I'm going to ask you to just gently, just partially open your eyes so that they're just a little bit open. They're gazing kind of down in front of you, maybe 45 degrees-ish. And you just let everything in that field of your vision stay very soft. And we're going to do this with our eyes partially opened, softly gazing. So when you're ready, just gently, partially, just kind of basically disattach the eyes, lower lid from the upper lid. It's just a small opening. But then bring your attention back to the moon center and the sun center. And the key here is to keep coming back to the sensations in the moon center and the sun center. And then for our last little bit, the next time you inhale, just let your attention drop into the heart center. And as you exhale, let that heart center expand. Eyes are still partially open. If it's working for you, if it's too distracting, go ahead and close them. And our attention is now in the heart, the energetic heart center. Opening with the inhale, expanding with the exhale. And of course, the feeling, the question is, what's the sensation in the heart center as it's opening? What is that sensation? Is it similar in some way to that feeling of the heart smiling? Without putting that label on it? Or is it different? There's no right or wrong. And then from here, we'll open with our invocation. So just let your attention rest in the heart. You can join me. I don't know if I'm going to have the words right, but you can join me certainly in the intention of attuning something to something so vast and loving and wise and good that you are connected to. And then feeling the intimacy of that love and that cherishing. And then allowing yourself to accept the support of all of life in helping you and us to wake up. To wake up and remember. Oh, Great Spirit. Saints and sages of all religions, all places, all times. And to our own precious Ishta Devata, we ask your assistance in sweeping clear the obstacles on our path, that we might better serve you and assist all life forms. O ye powers that be, help us to awaken in all aspiring souls your eternal wisdom and unselfish love. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. And take a moment here if you have a personal request, a personal wishing to send blessings to someone. To take this moment to kind of settle into your own intention for today. And now let's all sit together for just a minute in the silence, together. And then when you're ready, just gently begin to stretch your arms, your legs. And when it feels right, go ahead and open your eyes.
My apologies. I had 8 a.m. in my head. And so, Lisa, thank you for the text.
You know why? It's because the RIPA class is at 8. And it's one of those things that I wasn't thinking of this class. I was thinking of them, you know. But as soon as you have the people attending both, you need the same time. So in my head, I've already made a note. Weekend classes always start at the same time. Doesn't matter what it is, because just think how confused I am, Kathleen. Like, Mark, what time? Not a problem. So how was that? How was that? Any questions or comments? I mean, we kind of did a little bit, kind of expanded. We're going to be expanding our awareness of these pranayamas and the breath, especially over the course of the retreat. But what, any questions, comments? Agnieszka, yeah.
Oh,
you did it. Yes.
Thank you for your patience.
No,
I wanted to ask why do we inhale through the open mouth for e-mantra? And also, when I did that, my throat became extremely dry and I could not do it through the open mouth.
Oh, okay. Well, then that makes me think we're going to need to. Okay. All right. So, e-mantra and sipping breath, as I learned them, are two pranayamas that we do through we use the mouth. Usually we inhale through the nostrils, as you know. If your throat is getting dry, then, you know, the suggestion is to have a little bit of ghee or olive oil, or, you know, they got so many lovely oils now. And you either put a little bit in your mouth ahead of time or you spray a little bit. Coconut oil works great. You know, it's a little easier to deal with because it's solid, right? So you can just put a little in and rub it around. But you just lubricate, put some oil in there. And so we'll make sure there's some there at the retreat center for people who that is a phenomena. Yeah. That's a phenomena. Yeah. Was that the question? Did I get it? Was that the whole question or was there more?
I was curious, why do we inhale through the open mouth?
Well, here's my understanding of it. Okay, so sipping breath and e-mantra go together, generally speaking. I mean, the way I use them. I mean, sometimes we'll do sipping breath because it's very calming breath, right? But if you notice, most of the time when I do them, I do one and the other because they are, one is building an awareness of the pause with the lungs full. Full chalice, we call it, because the lungs are the receptacle for this most precious thing, the breath, which is our life, which is prana. So in yoga, they'll sometimes use the word chalice for the lungs. So full chalice is what we're training ourselves with sipping breath. With e-mantra, we're training ourselves to hold in a pause easily with empty chalice. When we're working with holds like that, with these two techniques, these are also preparatory techniques for working with some of the more advanced kriyas in kriya yoga. And so we're working with the sushumna. And when we're working, you know, left nostril is ida, right nostril is pingala. When we're working with the mouth, we're working with the sushumna. And so these two techniques are preparatory for working with rotations in the spine where we are working to balance our karma in the sushumna. Okay? Did that answer? Okay. All right. And if you didn't understand any of that, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll get there someday. Yeah. Anybody else? Comments, questions? Kelsey, yeah.
I just have a comment, especially after what you just said about the sipping breath being full chalice. Because in the past, I've experienced with the sipping breath, sometimes I can like panic a little and feel like I'm not getting enough air. But this time, even though that was a little present off and on, I felt like I could rest in the pause so much longer. I'm trying to remember. The exhale pause, I just felt like I didn't need to breathe.
After E mantra? Yeah.
Sipping breath.
Oh, okay. Okay, hang on. Yeah. That is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very cool. It kept me yeah, I need to breathe after this, but it just lasted such a long time. And I just felt like I had the energy I needed rather than the breath.
Which is the result of all the different practices you've been doing have actually improved your experience of that practice. That's how it works, right? And so with sipping breath, we technically don't hold after the exhale. However, if it's a natural place, then of course the point is to enjoy it, right? I wouldn't linger there past anything that just feels easy.
Sure.
And so let me just speak once more to the when we're doing a breath, you know how Kelsey said that she felt like she wasn't getting enough air. We don't ever want our body to struggle like that. And so what we want to learn to do is really trust these pranayamas to evolve. And so what we're learning to do is if you're doing this for sipping breath, you feel how tight and smooth and slow that is, right? And then we're starting to, that means it's too slow or it's too thin a stream. So balance it out so that it's shorter, it's fuller, I've got enough air. Because if we're struggling, if we're feeling like we're not getting enough air, that is not the point of the technique. So you start short and full. So instead of just short of whistling, right? It's build the lungs so you can hold and then exhale. Eventually it will on its own smooth out and elongate. But you need the prana in your body for that to happen. Does that make sense? That makes sense? Which is why it's really important. You don't pay any attention to what anybody else is doing, because the bottom line is there are going to be days like Kelsey had today where it was just effortless and the breath flowed smooth and long and easy. And there'll be another day where your things are lots going on and your sipping breath will be back to. That's it, right? Instead of like 30 second inhale, 10, 12 second pause. I mean, you want to show up for your breath. That's what you're training to. You're not training yourself to force a technique. You're training yourself to let the techniques evolve. They will evolve. They will evolve. Yours is to be kind to your body. Know your body. Don't struggle. When we're doing pranayama and we struggle, that's not the point. So we come back to yoga this fundamental core teaching, whether it's asana or yamas niyamas, pratyahara, pranayama, pay attention and do what your body, your breath can do. Kind, gentle, no struggle. Show up for what is real for you. And this is training us to show up for what is real for us in our life, right? If you're not pushing, you're not forcing, you're not struggling. Oh, next time you're feeling a little scared or anxious, you're going to be able to show up for that scared or anxious without forcing or pushing or struggling or resisting or rejecting. See, it's all fits together so magically. It's beautiful. Thank you for that, Kelsey. Yeah. April.
So, I noticed that I'm a little bit, unsure of how long to hold the pause, especially with E mantra. Cause your hold is very long.
Sometimes, not always. Yeah.
Okay. And so I was just curious a little bit more about
I hold because I'm just demonstrating this. This is my authentic E mantra, right? But in the beginning, the holds could truly be. I'm going to do a fast E. It's not the length of the hold that's important. It's your ease in the pose, in the hold. It's your ease in the hold. And you will discover the more you do it, it's like I've learned how to soften my body and so that the hold isn't a holding my breath. It's not a holding my breath hold. It's a relaxed being. And so I guess it's been a long time since I taught this part of the technique, but it's like the body softens, your attention drops out of the chest. And over at the retreat, we're going to learn Mula Bandha. And we're going to start doing these pranayamas with the bandhas, with the locks, which when you soften, it still gives a real beautiful foundation to the pranayama and the hold and the pause. And it doesn't matter how long you hold it. It matters your ease. Your ease. And if I haven't made that clear, then I need to, I've been teaching the technique too long. I forgot. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. Cause the tendency for all of us is to want to match what I do as a teacher, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact is one of the reasons I do hold as long as I hold is because you're not going to match me. It's going to force you to just do your own E mantra. Just do it. Because there's no way you can match me. I mean, I know there are some people who can hold it longer than me, you know, but it's not a competition. It's a showing up. It's a showing up.
So I guess what I'm curious about is when I do the E mantra, like my lungs are so empty, like I'm pushing, you know, that air out because it takes a lot of concentration to do that. And it's almost like there's nothing left for the hold. So I'm just.
Yeah. So there's two ways I've, my experiences, I'd be curious to see if other people have had other experiences. There was a period there I was doing it. It almost felt like I'd created a vacuum and my lungs had actually gone. And I found that when I was in that kind of a hold, I couldn't hold it effortlessly. It's like it tensed me up. The vacuum tightened me, right? Cause I felt like literally one of those bags, you know, where you suck all the air out and it goes, That's yep. what I felt like it happened, right? And I'm like, I don't think this is what's supposed to be happening. And it wasn't comfortable.
Right.
And I was doing that. That was years of playing with that. And I finally realized what I need to do for me was to not go to the vacuum point, to exhale, but, and one of the ways I do this is I don't exhale. You know, we want to keep the sound steady and smooth. And the more you do it, you're going to find it's not how loud or how strong the E is. It's the smoothness of it. And it doesn't have to be loud and strong. And you're still going to feel it back here. It's not like, what's an example? It's not like a mixer where you have to turn it on high to really vibrate and get the results. You know, you can have it on low and it goes, and it works. That's all you need. And so maybe focus on, make sure the sound is smooth and steady. There's no breaks. As soon as it gets jerky or breaky, that's your cue to go and just expel the rest of the air. Just expel it. Because if it's going, that's not doing anything. So it's, and somehow in that I don't get a vacuum when I do it that way. So try that. See if you can just get the rest of the air out before you, before that starts getting jerky or weak or we don't want to get there. It's a strong, clear vibration. That answer it? This is advanced E mantra work here. Yeah. Anybody have any other thoughts? Anything else you guys have experienced with what I've just said that you've learned? Yeah. Brenda, hang on just a minute. Agnieszka, what did you?
What helped me in the past with the idea of holding the breath was rather than, and I don't know if this is helpful for April, but rather than thinking of holding the breath is to suspend it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is, but that really, rather than kind of grabbing it, it was like just, and that eased everything there. So that's all.
No, that's great. Yes. So we use the word hold, but it's really a pause. And because the word kumbhaka, which it's a hold, and that's what we, but it's not. I love that, Agnieszka. I like to think of it as floating. It's suspended. Suspended. That is a whole different feel to it, right? Thanks, Agnieszka. I appreciate that. Okay. Brenda, yeah.
Well, this one has always been one of my least favorites. And I know. But I decided that part of the issue is I hear it and I get resistance. Like I hear, oh, she's going to do the E mantra. Great. Right. So I decided to not do that this time. Talk out of that. And also I thought, well, I think I also have not liked it in a group because just the different, you know, I've talked about this, there are all the different tones. When you're in a group like that, it just drives me crazy. So I was like, I'm here by myself. My kids are asleep. You know, we'll just do this. So I had a much better experience in the actual being able to feel everything. It is weird with headphones in. I will say that. I should figure out a way to listen to you. I should unplug it, I guess, to do that because it's very strange with the headphones in. Still get, and this is just maybe just me, but maybe somebody else has done it before. I get, my mouth gets like twitchy trying to hold it like that. So then I feel like I'm too tight to be enjoying it. And so, but I know that sometimes if I let it go too soft, then you're like, tighten up your E. So yeah. So there's everything that happens for me.
Okay. So let me start with this last one. I don't think I've ever said tighten up your E.
Well,
okay. So hang on here. So hang on. This is one of those other beautiful permissions that only you can do for you. And the traditional teaching is, you know, somebody came to the Buddha and said, I'm having trouble sitting in my meditation. It's like I keep falling asleep and I get too wound up. And he said, you've got to think of it like the string of a lute, but for us, maybe a string of guitar. If it's too tight, it's the wrong sound. If it's too loose, blum, 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 it's got to be just that right tightness. And so for that reason, I don't tend to use the word tight. But you want to find the right amount of alertness and engagement. It might be a better word. The right amount of engagement with the right amount of softness. So it's not, everything is straining here. It's not that. Now, in the beginning, it is. And I've had a couple students, that's how they get the sound, you know. It's like, then that's how it works. But the goal is over time, it's a relaxed, it's my lips are actually fairly relaxed. This isn't all, you know, it's in here. And the E sound is really, it's a gentle floating of vibration up into the moon center. And that's what we're going for. So in the beginning, we find it by forcing. We find it by going, because we can't find it. But the more you do E mantra, the more aware of the subtle energy, which is what we're doing today, right? We're becoming more aware of it. Oh, there it is. There it is. You know, you don't have to put the blender on high. You can put it on low. Lisa, I love when you smile like that because it's like I just, Lisa two eyes, because it's like I just, it's like, okay, yeah, that's how I feel too. So are you following me? It's like you, to teach it, to get somebody to find it, sometimes you got to go strong. But now you can back off a little bit and you can really sit with the prana of it. That is vibrating, that is helping to with that vibration. These are excellent questions. Excellent questions. And these are not the kind of questions that you can ask in the beginning. Because in the beginning, you're just finding it. You're just finding it. Now, I'm so glad we're doing this here because I'm not going to go into this level of it with it at the retreat. There's too many other things to do, but I want you to know this. I want you to know this. As we're working with it. And it doesn't mean you can't ask questions about it. It doesn't mean we're not going to talk about it. But it's, yeah, enough. Yeah, that's my point. And so, Lisa, yeah.
If you do get the retreat video, how do we know when to sign on and when not to sign on? I mean, like, you guys are going to be doing stuff all day long. So,
well, there's a schedule.
I'm not sure.
There's a schedule. I can't send you the schedule yet because with the COVID, with the Delta variant and with everything that's going on, I'm rethinking the entire way I do the retreat in terms of how long each session is. And I'm in the process of trying to rework that, but there will be a schedule. And it's like, I do know that 7 a.m. is yoga. And, you know, Gina, we'll try to put a little thing by Gina and you guys can do yoga with Gina. And then there's breakfast. We go to breakfast. You have breakfast at your house. We go to our morning sessions usually start at 9 and they traditionally go 9 to 12:30 or 9:30 to 12:30, something like that. But it's going to be broken up a little differently. But so here's the main thing.
I didn't know you were putting this on Zoom. I thought you couldn't do it. So.
Well, I'm trying. Kathleen, it's breaking my heart not having you.
Well, I've kind of made some, all right, we can talk offline. I don't want to, I made some plans. I didn't realize you were going to get it. So
I've been trying this whole time.
I thought it was hopeless. Okay. All right. We'll talk offline. I'm sorry.
It may be hopeless, but I'm trying.
Sorry.
I'm trying. And so, yeah. So this is the most, this is just a very different retreat because we have so many people who are going home, either to kids who aren't vaccinated, to family members who are at high risk. We're talking high risk. And so what I'm learning, right, is the variant, even those of us who are vaccinated are still carrying the same viral load. We may be asymptomatic, but we're carrying the same load, and this variant is a lot more aggressive, and it's a lot harder on everybody.
Whether you're vaccinated or not, you can carry COVID.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting of it. That's the vaccine doesn't save you from getting it or giving it.
So what hopefully what it does is if you have the vaccine, you won't get as sick and you won't end up in ICU, you know? And so what we're at least statistically, that's what I've been reading. And so we're just trying to figure out, make sure there's a way that since we have the whole retreat center, instead of us being tight in that area in the chapel where we usually are, we can spread out more in that room. So there's a little more room because we've got the yoga space down below where we can do yoga and do other activities. So we're just adapting. I don't want anybody to bring it back to anybody. I mean, I don't have any control of it, but it would be devastating for me to have us be a spreader event where people come home from our event and now their kids have it, their parents have it, their spouses have it. That's not comfortable to me. So we are working every day now trying to figure out how do I reshape the structure for that. And then within that structure, I'm trying to figure out how we can Zoom it so that you guys can join us and be there. So yeah, I've got an email I want to send out, but I keep getting new information. So hopefully it'll go out tonight because I know Ramon and Laura and, well, Agnieszka, you're already packed. You're here, but you know, you want to pack and you kind of want to know what's what. So I'll get something out today for sure. So back to e-mantra. And sipping breath. I can't stress enough that these techniques reveal themselves the more you do them. And they start as a technique, and then you find the nuance. It's like I've done yoga. Well, I used to do yoga all the time, right? I do yoga with Agnieszka the way she's using it with the breath. And I discover places and things that I had never discovered before because I was busy doing postures and poses and, you know, holding things and doing stuff. And as my awareness has increased, I can do this yoga where we're really working with the breath and moving it into different places in a way that I probably couldn't have decades ago. In other words, your awareness shifts, your awareness of the nuance, the subtlety. And that subtlety is that awareness of that is what makes it your practice. That's where it becomes an art, not just a prescription. Do the A, B, C, D, E. It's like, oh yeah, I do A, B and then this happens. So I'm going to do this and I'm going to kind of modulate C a little bit here and oh, this E is way, way better than what they said, you know. Does that make sense, Kelsey? Yeah.
I have a question, which is not necessarily present moment focused, but I'm thinking like long term, when we graduate and all of that goodness, is the ideal of pranayama to find a sequence that works for you, or are there like sets of like the pranayama sequence you have us doing for our daily pranayama sequence? Is that like this is a regular, lots of people do it this way and find benefit there?
Do it that way. I do it that way. It's what my guru gave me at one point, gave out at one point. And so, here's the thing with pranayama. Pranayama is, I mean, it's so yummy. And I think those are maintenance pranayama. That little routine you've got is just a maintenance pranayama. There will be times in your life where you're going to say, you know, I want to really play with Ujjayi breath. And you're going to start to play with it and you're going to really start to expand it. And you'll find that you can inhale for 20 seconds, hold for 10, 15. I never made it to holding for 20. And then exhale again. And then you're going to find you can inhale for 20, hold for X, exhale at that same rate and hold again after the exhale. And you play with it. You just play with it. And you, for me, I do those things for maybe a month or two. Mm-hmm. And then I move on to something else. You know, if you were in a different circumstance, we were in an ashram and we were all working this together, then maybe we would have, there are patternings that you work with. And in spiritual science of Kriya from Kriyananda, if you go to Ujjayi breath, if you go to, what are some of the other ones? He gives you the patterning. Start here, add one or two, build yourself up to this pattern. And it's kind of fun. It's fun to just play with it. You know, I think if there's certain advanced techniques that there are certain pranayamas, you'll want to play with more before you move into those. But, I think for me, I don't know if this is good advice, but this is where I'm at in my practice is if you feel like playing with Ujjayi breath and playing with it, go for it. If you feel like playing with, there's some other breaths that, that are in his thing, you know, you can ask me. They're not, some of them are breaths that I'm going to be teaching, but certainly if it's, you look through the book and you look at it and you go, ooh, this looks cool. Karen, what is this? You know, I'm happy to talk to you about it. But I think pranayama is something you can play with. And I really encourage play with it. Go at it with a place of delight. Delight. And trust it. Just trust yourself. Trust your intuition. Ooh, I just saw this one in there. I mean, there's some really fun ones in there. And every once in a while in the group meditations, often I'll pull from those and we'll work with one or two for a little while, you know. But I think the sequence you've got is kind of like a maintenance sequence. Three sipping breath, three E mantra, three blum, 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 you know. That's kind of what I do. Did that answer it?
Yeah, thank you. I think I just kind of needed to hear that permission to play. Because it is enjoyable to expand and explore. So,
yeah, you know, the tendency is when we're starting out to... And it's not, it's a good thing to do exactly what we're told. And what I've learned is the exactly what you're told is because you need to kind of get the hang of it, right? But once that's happened, it's expected that you're going to play with it, discover it. When I was first learning one of the advanced Kriyas from Kriyananda, and he gave me specific instruction. And I did it exactly like that for a year. I went back to him and he said, how are you doing? I said, well, I'm doing blah, blah, blah. And he looked at me like, huh? You're still doing that? It's been a year. It was like, I was such a good Catholic girl. It's like, you tell me to do this. That's all I'm going to do. Boom, boom, boom. Do 28, da, 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 da. In his mind, I was sort of been up to 108. I was still at 28. I had not gone past because, you know, that's what I was told. And it was a moment for me of realizing, oh shit. He expected me to play, to move forward, to trust what I was experiencing. So how's that for a double dose of permission from the big guy himself? How's that? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. So. Should we take a short break and then let's come back and talk about the fun stuff like chakras and nadis and karma and all that stuff? What do you say? How about 10 minutes? Let's come back at 1:45-ish. 1:45 plus a minute. How's that? All right, good loves. All right. Kathleen, where are you?
I'm right here.
All right, let's go in a breakout room.
Okay.
We can chat. I mean, unless you want to just chat right here.
Oh, I'm fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I made some tentative plans. I didn't realize you were still trying to, I mean, it's not, there's nothing set in stone yet, but, so.
Yeah. And I understand that. I mean, I have never not stopped. I mean, right from the get go, when I tried to find somebody to, I was trying to see if Evan could come and do all the resuming, the recording, right? And he couldn't. So, and so I've been playing with it. I've been working with Dan and I was actually trying to find somebody I could hire to just come and work it, but I need the right personality for that. And
that's expensive. So,
No,
I get it. I just, on our last conversation, I thought you had already told me all those things that were exhausted. And so
well, at that point they were, but I didn't give up. I can't give up. It's like I'm my husband and I, we sit around, we talk about what can we do? How can we do this so that he can still participate? How could he help? You know, is it something? I don't know. Kathleen, I'm still working on it.
Okay. Okay.
And I, to be honest with you, I may not know anything until, you know, Thursday when I get in there Thursday afternoon and we actually get to play with the equipment and test the signal in real time. And we're bringing boosters to see if we can boost the signal out in the chapel. And
Okay.
But if you need to make a set plan, I mean, I understand. It's, you know,
Right. Well, let me just double check with Vince. He made the plans and he was going to go regardless because I thought I was supposed to be at the retreat and I'm like, well, now I can join you. So, but then there was some other stuff too. I remember the other day. So I just, that's why I was saying I kind of have plans, but I don't have plans. I don't know.
I know. And I can't tell you anything till Thursday, till, you know, it'll be probably mid afternoon before we even have a chance to start setting stuff up, see if it works. Okay. So.
Well, he's out in the woods right now. So when he gets home later, I'll ask him.
Okay. Well, my hope is that it works out. It really, really, really do, you know, and, but we'll see.
I have to tell you, I came by that car accident must have happened after I came by because I saw that cute little car in your driveway and I was like, oh, what a cute.
Oh, no. You know, my daughter said I wasn't clear. That happened years ago.
Oh,
the Mini rolling out of the driveway was years ago.
Okay.
Yesterday was the trigger. That thing, it triggered it. We got back. I was driving his car and it triggered that thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, and that was, Mom, I'm so confused. Mom, did the Mini just roll out of the driveway? No.
Okay. I wasn't clear.
Yeah.
No worries. I was like, wow, I just saw that car. It looked great.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. Get your break and I'll see you back.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.